everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. Boy, I am so happy to have you with us today. I have with me Dr. Matt Bishop. He is the principal, and he's got another job. I'm going to let him tell you what it is. He's like a rubber band in the school department. They just snap, he goes anywhere. But seriously, he's the principal at Taconic. I have the utmost respect for him and what they've done. I've been in the building at Taconic. I'm going to try doing that again when school starts up, broadcasting on Thursdays from Taconic, because it is an amazing school with amazing teachers, amazing administrators, and also amazing students, athletes, kids that are going to be our tradespeople. I can't say enough positive things about Taconic, the new Taconic, and the whole system. I understand that, you know, there are people who, you know, find fault, but I'm trying to find goodness. There's enough people looking for fault. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, Matt, how are you?
Hanging in there. Well, thank you for all the kind words. It's always a pleasure to be on here. I love talking about schools with you.
I know you, and you know my dedication to the school system in Pittsfield, but also to education, because I can tell you, with managing violent youthful offenders, their only way out is through education. I don't care if it's academic, technical, vocational. And the sooner that all these people realize this, maybe we won't have as big a recidivism rate.
Yeah. I think, I've come across a lot of important people in my life. And the one key that they all shared with me is they all shared the sort of belief in learning. And you can learn every day, and you should learn every day something.
Right.
And that embrace, that sort of embracing learning is what I think made them great and drew me to them, right? Because I try to surround myself with people who are better than me. That's the only way I've made it through. And that was the one key thing. So if we can, part of why I love doing what I do is I feel like we have an opportunity to do that every day when you're in a school is teach people that, you know, learning is going to improve your life, no matter where you're at or where you start.
That's exactly right. And what a vision the new Taconic is for kiddos who want to work with their hands. I just am so, whenever you go there, they're so involved. Whether it's academic or shop, they're just committed.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to see, because I've been at Taconic for 28 years almost. Let me get that right. Yeah, this is my 27th year in the district. And my year before that, I was a sub in student teachers at Taconic. So this is my 28th year. I've been involved with Taconic for 28 years. And John Bosberg, Doug McNally, Tony Simonelli, Grace O'Connell, like we've had some really, really top-notch people come through here.
You can't forget my good friend, Joe Benjamin.
Oh, Joe, that's right. I'm sorry.
He's an institution.
That's when I went off to Pittsfield High. So I did have a gap. I did have a gap for a little bit. That's why I forgot. Sorry, Joe.
I didn't want to embarrass you, but he is a good – when the old radio station was there, I saw him interact with kids, and I thought, how lucky are we to have people like him?
And we're even lucky because he still comes back and helps us out by subbing currently. And he's amazing. So, yes, thank you for bringing me that up. But like I said, I've been involved with Taconic for a long time. And one of the things that's always sort of been around is like being a comprehensive high school, it comes with its challenges, it comes with its benefits, it comes with its challenges. So what I mean comprehensive, meaning you have both vocational programming and non-vocational programming.
Right.
That's what Taconic was up until 2 years ago. And one of the things, like, no matter who you are, like in a comprehensive school, you have two groups and somebody's going to feel left out, right? Like when you have, because it's hard to design a school to serve everybody's needs when you have two major styles of programming, right?
Yes.
So for a long time, our vocational students felt like the school wasn't designed for them. And, you know, you could make an argument when you looked at how we scheduled, you could make an argument when you looked at electives, you can make an argument that that was the case. Going to an all vocational model, it's been really fascinating to see the opportunities it presents. Oh. This, it has brought everybody closer, right? So
yes,
we have now, we have one mission, right? That we have these, we have 15. And again, we started with 8, and we, I'd be remiss not to, to mention how, you know, the importance that Tammy Gage played in all this.
Oh.
She's been driving this, and we wouldn't be where we were without her. We all know that. But we start with 8 programs. Now we have 15. We've almost doubled, and they're full. And, you know, so watching our vocational teachers and our non-vocational teachers start to partner, we're doing something really exciting this year where we're embedding math, science, and English teachers into the vocational shops. And because vocational programs, you do have a classroom component in your vocational.
Right. Yes. Related.
Yeah. So we're bringing our math, science, English teachers in to partner with those, you know, and to help the vocational teachers in the classroom piece. And it's bringing the school together, and we're really excited about all that. And then watching our non-vocational teachers learning about what they teach in the shops and put them into their classrooms, it's made math more relevant. It's made science more relevant. It's, sure. You know, and I don't know, it just, students who come to Taconic see the relevance to their future, right? Like
exactly.
You know, like, cause you see a program, you see where it'll help. And even if you don't choose that program for the rest of your time, you see what it does for you moving forward as a person, right? Like, so I have two kids, both went to Taconic, both in vocational programs, one currently, one just graduated. They're in the horticulture program, right? Cool. And, you know, the opportunities that my oldest, who just graduated, had, he has been working you know, through the co-op program. He had a great experience at the Country Club of Pittsfield.
Cool.
With Jim Conant. So thank you, Jim, for all that. And then he went to Tanglewood this year. And he's learned all these skills. And regardless of, I mean, he wants to continue in it, but regardless of what he does, he will have those skills the rest of his life.
Forever.
He loved coming to school every day. And he couldn't wait to get out there. He got into turf management. So he was always out there. I'd be walking down the halls and I'd see him out mowing and then I'd wonder, my yard was this big, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, well, yeah.
No, you really love mowing, but you can't do it at home. But
well, no. That's why you're there.
Yeah, exactly. So, but both of my kids, and I know that story translates
yes,
our students love, you know, looking forward to coming, particularly to their shop days and weeks, and they see how that can benefit them in a career or just in life in general.
Here's the thing, and I tell the story every year. I remember interviewing this young lady. She was in metal fab. Now, I used to work in the shop. Gorillas worked in metal fab. Yeah, I mean, guys, you know, they ate raw bolts for breakfast. She was a little petite young lady. And I said, whatever possessed you? And she said, well, I want to be a nurse practitioner, and my welding skills will give me the opportunity to pay for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're thinking, when I was that age, I was worried about tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
They're thinking that far ahead.
And it's funny you brought up metal fab, because I was talking to one of our seniors that just graduated who was in the metal fab program, and he's going to college. He's playing lacrosse, and he wants to be an environmental. He's going for environmental science and wants to be an environmental police officer. So I said, why did you choose metal fab? Right. Like, same kind of question. And we got to a really cool discussion. And one of the things that we came with is, like, we're not even sure the opportunities that he's going to have with these skills in his new chosen field. Like, he's going to know, and he'll bring something unique to that field that I'm sure others know. So we don't even know what doors it's going to open for people you know, when he gets involved in that. So we're really excited. And I love hearing the stories of all of our graduates and what they're doing and how they're utilizing the skills they got in their shop class.
And you know, just to kind of promote myself and PCTV and WTBR, you know, I wrote a program years ago when they were going to do away with the old Taconic and do away with the, why would you want a radio station, blah, blah, blah. Well, now it's back. It's so well equipped. It's so beautiful. And the kids in your, I don't know where you found this teacher, but he's worth my weight in gold. And that's a lot of gold, brother. And I'm working on it, get it more each day. But they learn so much. And, you know, when we do the show there, they have to, I guess, kiddos get there. They're there like 45 minutes early to make sure everything's okay. That to me, you know, when the nation is battling an attendance problem, and we have kids going to school early to ensure the shop is ready to do things, that's a credit to you and the school system and all of your teachers.
And not just early, but staying late. There's a number of evening activities that particularly our culinary folks, when we do our general advisory meetings, you know, the spring and the fall general advisory committee, our culinary crew, I mean, they have, you know, 10, 15 students working hard, and our Skills USA students are here. Our open houses, when we have our open houses, I just, if no one's ever come to an open house at Taconic, I just really suggest you do, because we learned a long time ago that we just need to stop talking and let the kids do the talking and the programs do the talking. So every shop has their kids there. Every department has kids there. They're showing off their work. We have, you know, performances on stage. And so, you know, we let our kids do it and they love it. And we are so, that was by far every year my favorite night as a principal in this building was open house, because I could sit back and just watch how proud everybody is of this place and what we offer. And you get to see it, you know, and you're in the day to day, you don't always get to see it, right? You're running here, you got to go here, you got to go there, and you sometimes lose it. But then when you take a step back on open house night, and it's open to the public and the community, you don't have school kids in the school. So we want to encourage everyone we can, just because I've said this from day one, and I say it every chance I get. We are so grateful to this community for supporting the building of this new building. We couldn't be doing it without it. Our kids are blessed and lucky that we had a community that really put their faith in them. And you know, we've had our, you know, like anything, opening a building and doing a bunch of stuff. We've had certainly a lot of growing pains in 7 years, but we are so fortunate that this community believed in what we were saying we could do with this place, that we feel a responsibility to try to make it on that promise. So we're very
and let's face it, education today is so different than it was when I was in school, when my kid was in school, and it's, you know, COVID didn't help. It certainly didn't help. These darn things didn't help, aren't helping. Even me, I mean, I at night, people say to me, hey, I tried to call you last night. I know I when I go to bed and I shut it off. Really? Wow. That's like a big deal, Bill. Really? Not to me. I lived in a house where you didn't call after 8 o'clock because when I was a kid. But Matt, what? You're all set to open up again.
Mm-hmm.
You've been, besides being a great principal at Taconic, and I have to go, Tammy Gage, what she's done with, she's glass ceiling. She's sitting on top of glass ceilings, a woman in charge of vocational, and she's just catapulted vocational. I mean, really, when I was a guy, if you ever said, oh, we'll put a woman in charge of, oh, come on, dude, what's up? But she has been magnificent. And this year, you're opening up. Give us kind of a 360 overview of how you guys are prepared to reopen.
You're talking about at Taconic, right?
Yeah. Well, you've got that new position too.
Yeah, that's why I'm because I got to keep switching brains here. But
I'm sorry. Yeah, and you're dealing with me, and my brain's out to lunch. So take the lead.
So we're in a little bit of a transition. So earlier in the summer, Superintendent Curtis, there was an opportunity, and if you watch the budget season, there was two new positions, repurposed. They weren't new. I want to be careful with that word because some people think we're adding when we're not. We're just repurposing and actually saving money, because we're utilizing grant funds where we weren't before. But so there's two repurposed positions. So the curriculum director and the deputy superintendent's job has been repurposed to two assistant superintendent's roles. So process happened. They found one, didn't find a candidate for the other. So Superintendent Curtis asked me to kind of come on and just help for the summer and a little bit into the fall. And that may or may not be extending. We'll see at the school committee tomorrow. So there was a little bit of changes. So Angela Johansson, who is our vice principal, interim principal. She is the first female principal of Taconic High School, and that's something we should celebrate.
Yeah, absolutely. And she deserved it.
She's been a long time teacher here. Yep. She always didn't have the easiest job. I mean, I've been a vice principal. It's not easy. It's one of the, actually, I've been a coach, a teacher, a sub, an advisor, a dean, a vice principal, and a principal in this district. And I think vice principal was the hardest still. Yeah. But she's more than ready and willing to take over while I'm gone while I'm at Mercer. And then Mike Tabor, who is the dean of students, will be the interim vice principal. And so he has a wealth of experience, with operations and doing everything we need to do. So Taconic's in a really good place.
Yeah.
In terms of open. And of course we have two amazing, Marcy Simons, who's our vocational supervisor. And then we have Amy Shaw, who basically is what we call our assistant principal of teaching and learning, who coaches teachers, evaluates, coordinates testing. So Taconic's in great shape. So what I'm doing now, I'm up at Mercer, like I said, for the foreseeable future and, working on, I feel like a first year student all over again. I'm learning everything new. Just when I think I know what I'm doing, I don't, which is good because it keeps me honest, keeps me asking questions. Maybe I bring a little bit of different perspective up to Mercer just because, I've been a principal for so long and I can ask a lot of questions. So, but I'm really liking what I'm doing at the moment.
Let me just say this. You don't have to agree or disagree. My thinking is a lot of the mandates that come down from Boston are, but it's been my experience in life that a lot of the people at headquarters, and not necessarily, they're good people, but they don't have boots on the ground time. And like you have just said, and that's why I think I applaud you so much for what you have done and are doing, is that you have boots on the ground. You've been everything. I had the DA on this week. The DA has been a prosecutor and a defense attorney. He brings a whole new perspective into the DA's office. And I think it's the same with you, Matt. And I mean this as a compliment, please. You bring a lot of real life experience that some of these people who come up with these cockamamie reports and all this stuff, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue about what it really takes to educate a kid in today's world.
I think that's my biggest surprise, actually, Bill, moving up to, I guess, you think, but then all of a sudden you're in the role and then you really learn. I saw the commissioner speak a bunch of times while I was a principal. And the last three or four times I saw him speak, he ended with, DESE is a compliance-based organization, right? The Department of Elementary. I was surprised to hear him say that. Like, but it made sense. And so now that I'm in this level, I realize, I mean, it is, I don't think people understand how compliance driven our profession is, and the regulations and that we have to follow. And it is, I mean, there's regulations and compliance and laws for everything we do. And it has to be, right? Like, and I understand all that, but it's the what I'm realizing is district leaders really spend a lot of time and get overwhelmed really quickly because there are so many
right
regulations and reports and, you know, departments within DESE we have to report to ensure compliance. And I think, you know, it's been eye opening for me.
My thing, and I won't get into it, but I used to get these every Monday, a laundry cart full of these printouts that I couldn't have time to read in 300 years. And I guess my question is, and what I would ask the legislature to do and the governor, is sit down with DESE, I guess it is. I call it DESE. Sit down with them and have them justify how this contributes, this reporting, this, to the education of the children.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the goal, right? Like, I think when we look at, I mean, education is so polarizing in our country anyway, right?
Oh,
and I think when we talk about where we're at as Massachusetts, I think DESE has done a really good job of selling, of communicating their vision and where we want to go and, you know, deeper learning and, you know, everything. And it's just, how do you get 300 plus school districts in the Commonwealth, you know, moving there? So it's an amazing challenge. And when you talk about such a big, you know, government organization.
Bureaucracy. It's a bureaucracy.
I think it's an amazing challenge. And then seeing how it translates down to Pittsfield, say, and then we get, you know, the information what we do, and then how do we internalize it? And this is the part that's been really fun for me at the district level is like, okay, so we get this guidance. So then how do we make it appropriate for Pittsfield? And how do we talk with our team and our community? And how do we, and so that's been the challenge and the fun part is making sure that we still are serving our kids, but we're also, you know, faithful to what the department wants us to do.
Yeah. And I think sometimes the department, the data is good, but what do you do with it? In my old career, Fred, this was and I actually changed some things. I don't mind collecting the data, but how is that going to help me manage this violent youthful offender program? Is it data for the sake of data? Is it data for the sake of research? Is it data for the sake of application? Yeah. I know I'm kind of hung up on that, but it just drives me nuts.
It's a great point, Bill, because like nowadays you have data for everything, right? Like, I mean, my little watch tells me that I don't sleep well. It's like, no kidding, but I can tell you exactly how I don't sleep well.
Yeah.
But
yeah, thanks for the update. I was up 3 hours reading it.
Right. And, that's a really good point because we have more data than we've ever had. Right. Like, and I think one of the things we enjoy and have gotten better at is sifting through this and what is actionable. What can we use? What story does it tell? Right. I think, you know, when we do it well, it actually creates more questions for us than when we don't. And so I think we've gotten as a district much better at looking at data, asking questions and sifting through and figuring out which ones we really want to focus in on, because like everything now, I mean, we can get
overwhelmed
and with cell phones. And I know you want to probably circle back around to talk about those. Because that's the hot topic right now.
Oh, you would think that they were made of gold. But I will just say, and then we can conclude on this. I go 100% with what you're saying. And I will say this, and I've said this on air, off air, to people who were out of control about the school budget and stuff. what you do with the information you have, when you go before the school committee to make recommendations for changes or additions or whatever, it's always data driven. It's not knee jerk driven. Yeah. And that's why I sing the praises of the school department. I've been around the world a couple of times, and I can tell you, if you base your decisions on data, you won't be holding the bag when the thing falls apart. That's just my opinion.
Nope, I agree.
You know? I want to wait till after the break to talk about the cell phones, because that'll go for hours again. But as the school year opens, I hope, and I know you guys have faced this challenge, you face it at Taconic, probably not as much as other places, but getting the kiddos back to school. I mean, attendance. But that's what angered me about the article in the Eagle, was that is it the school's job to get your kid into school? I'm sorry. My mother had us up and showered and shaved. Oh, I didn't shave then, but I don't shave now. So, but you know what I'm saying? We're always looking for a scapegoat. And right now, in my humble opinion, the school department, at least for the budget session, appeared to be a little bit of a scapegoat. Yeah, you don't have to agree. I'm just saying my thought.
I don't think you'd find an educator in Pittsfield that said attendance isn't a concern, right? And I think.
Oh, absolutely.
It's something that, we have a certain metric that we look at called chronic absenteeism, right? So that's defined as anyone who misses 10% of the year or more. So that's 18 days, right? So 180 school days. So 18 days or more, you're considered chronically absent. And we are very concerned about our chronic absentee rates in the district and particularly in some of our schools. And so, Bill, you're right. Like, it's a community, it's a multi-tiered approach to fixing attendance.
Yeah.
We tend to focus on what we can control here, right? Like, it does take a village to we talked about this earlier, to get a kid into through school.
Yes.
But we can only focus, we're partnering with organizations and groups, and we do have some attendance plans coming up. But in terms of what we can control, there's some really interesting conversation to be had about attendance, particularly in the high schools and in the secondaries, I'll even say, because I do think, and we, so Matt Yesko and myself, principal of Pittsfield High School,
yeah,
last spring went to an attendance sort of consortium, conference, whatever you want to call it. And it was really good. And we learned a lot of interesting things. And one of the things that people talked about in some other districts is really coding and talking about attendance differently with parents, right? Like, we have this thing called excused absence in Pittsfield Public Schools and in a lot of school districts, not just Pittsfield. And some of the people we talked about, they got rid of that, right? Like, because there really is no excused absence, right? It almost is like sending a message like it's okay not to be here. So a lot of school systems now are going to not differentiate between excused or unexcused, because the state doesn't. Like, when they give us our rates, it doesn't matter. You're there or you're not there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think sometimes it was an interesting perspective to hear school districts who have sort of not made that distinction really talk about that and how it helped change the culture of weight.
Sure.
Of having to be there. So this idea of, what is an excused absence? And then there's a whole other host of issues that went with it. But it's just, I think we need to have the conversations. I think we need to be more open and honest, and we have to be able to talk about, why are kids absent?
Absolutely.
Are they not, and kids will tell us that there's things that sometimes they don't feel like they need to be in school. And
right.
We got to listen and figure out why and help understand what they're saying and fix that, because if a kid doesn't feel like they have to be here, We don't run correspondence courses, right? Like you have to be in class to get the instruction or the assignment, but we have to look at, you know, how we do this.
We're going to take a break. I'm here today with Matt Bishop, Dr. Matt Bishop. He is the principal of Taconic, and they've stretched him out. He'll give his other title when we come back from the break. I can't read. I had it written down. I can't find it. And I can't, with my memory, I don't remember where the refrigerator is. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio. We're simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. I will just say this. I know it upsets some of you, but I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for, there's a lot of my colleagues and friends and a lot of other people, if you don't believe me, go up to a cemetery that are buried under this flag, and they gave their life for this flag. So all I'm asking people, please don't desecrate it. Please don't desecrate it. You don't have to respect it. You don't have to, but please don't desecrate it, because they gave their lives. I'm an old man now. They'll always be forever 19. The last picture their people have, families have, is not of an old fat bald guy with a beard. It's their high school graduation or their basic training graduation. Think of that. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Great. More stuff coming out about this year in the Pittsfield school system. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I am here today. I'm so honored and privileged. And I mean that sincerely. He's a great guy. He's Dr. Matt Bishop. He's the principal and another job at Mercer. I will tell you this, Matt. This is from the military and from law enforcement. The last place you want to be assigned is headquarters. So just sharing that with you. But seriously, we're going into a new school year. And there's a lot of change. And one of them, we're going to talk about it right now and get it out in the open, the new cell phone. That's right. I've had people my age, grandparents, saying, "Oh, you know, I don't know what the big deal is. Why a kid can't have a phone? Because it's distracting." Go into a restaurant today. Just go into any restaurant and just sit down. And nobody's talking anymore. They're all on their phones.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great question, right? So if I said to you, I have a way to improve school culture, make kids ultimately happier, reduce discipline issues, reduce bullying, reduce fighting, you'd want to know what the magic bullet. You'd say, you would sign up immediately. And time again, research and stories and anecdotal evidence have shown it's getting rid of cell phones in schools. And as soon as you say that's the thing, people are a little concerned. And I understand, like, we have this attachment to our devices. I struggle with it personally. You know, the work phone, this personal, you're always, you know, it's, as an adult, it's hard to manage. Within my family, we have conversations about how to manage it, because it, you know, the next thing you know, people disappear, we're in our phones in the same room, right? You know, we've had to set rules and limits and within larger family gatherings. I mean, we've had family gatherings where we dump them on a bowl, like everyone walks in and puts them in a bowl. Yeah. You know, it's a problem.
Yes.
I don't know if people who aren't in schools, if you know a teacher, just ask them, what are cell phones doing to the classroom? And this is not a Pittsfield only issue. It's not a Berkshire County. This is a nationwide struggle of teachers. Cell phones are hijacking our students' attention, focus, energy, well-being, you name it. And it's almost moving in direct opposition to what we're trying to do in the classroom, right? It's a pull. And so we've been hearing what parents have had to say, students, teachers. We have to do something. Our cell phone policy is no different than it's been the last 10, 15 years. Can't have them during the instructional day. I mean, that's been the rule. You cannot have these things. But enforcing that has been been the challenge. And when kids are so attached to them. So you're seeing some school districts, including a number of those just right around us, just saying, you know what, it's so bad, you got to lock them up.
Yeah.
You got to lock them up. And, you know, they're going to devices like Yonder, for example, is one of them. But there's, you know, these pouches that they lock up, and, you know, that seems to be working for those districts. So here we are trying to figure out what to do, and you know, our community in Pittsfield needs to know is cell phones are a problem in the classrooms.
Yeah.
And we need for our teachers in providing a distraction-free environment. We do want to improve our school culture. We do want to reduce, all the sort of negative things that come with cell phones. So we have to figure out a way, to really get the message across that these can't be out. And, you know, so tomorrow at the school committee, we presented, number of weeks ago, we had a yes. social emotional learning subcommittee.
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, what we might, just where we're at. We talked, and tomorrow at school committee, we'll talk about kind of how we're going to respond to, or how we think we're going to respond to, cell phones being out, because, you know, we did give a lot of chances. So where we're at is our current response to if cell phones are out, there's a lot of chances for kids. There's like sometimes up to 10, 15 chances before really significant, you know, consequences sort of happen.
All right.
So I don't know. It's tough, and teachers get frustrated with that and it really hasn't done a lot. And if you saw the data, we had over 6,000 referrals in the almost all exclusively in the secondary.
Yeah.
So teachers and administrators are spending a lot of time with this complicated system we have right now. So most people feel like we have to tighten it up. And the concern from parents, and we hear it, is that they want to be able to, they want to be able to reach their kid in an emergency, right? So if it's locked, they're really concerned about that. The thing we hear from students is, you know, we can be responsible, you know, teach us how to use these correctly, right? And all of that has a place, and all of that is legitimate. And I think we are not next year going to these lockable devices. That could be on the horizon, but right. We're trying to give people a year to say, okay, we don't want to lock these things up because we hear you, parents.
Right.
Do want to teach you responsibility, students, right? And we are going to put the responsibility in your hands to be adult about this or adult-like and
sure.
try to manage these. And we're going to help you. But we're not going to lock them up. But we can't keep doing this. And if that doesn't maybe get better this year, that conversation might be back on the table, you know.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
And I've heard this emergency thing. You know, I went to school, I think, about 5 years after phones were invented. And maybe not that long ago, but if you would call the school.
Yeah.
And they would send somebody down to the classroom to get you to answer your mother on the phone or your father on the phone or whatever. It wasn't an insurmountable problem.
Right.
And now we've used it. I don't want to take your time. This is just me. People have used it as a defense mechanism to let their kiddos have the phone because they don't have the courage, but they don't want to get into it with their kids. I saw in the grocery store the other day, the kid was in the, and just threw the phone at the mother, I think it's a problem that has been complicated by adults.
Mm. Well, I think it's the time we live in too, but like,
oh yeah.
Like my parents, when I was a kid, and it wasn't that long ago, but it was a while. There was a certain amount of freedom and trust I had. It was a different time, right? Like I think it was a society in which we were running around outside. Don't come home when the streetlights are on. Yeah. I think there was a general either naivety or safety, however you want to put it out there. But I think there was a feeling like that was okay to sort of trust that your kids would be okay if they're out and about. And I think in today's world, I'm a parent myself. And I think one of the things we have as parents today that my parents didn't have to deal with again, is these phones. But the ways now that we can track, where our kids are, like my son who drives, he gets in his car and we have an app. We know where he is. We know where he gets when he gets to work. We know how fast he was going, right? Like, and so I just think parenting I think the role of parents, again, we have access to more data than we've ever had. I think the role of parents has taken a different feel. And we forgot what it was like to sort of let go a little bit. And I'm not saying we should or shouldn't, but I just know the reality of it is like a lot of parents. Parenting for a lot of people is knowing where their kid is at all times and what they're doing. And I think then asking them to go into this sort of black hole for 7 hours is frightening for parents, right? And even though you're 100% right, you can call the office at any time.
Right. Yeah.
Get them immediately. Every teacher's got a radio that they can radio them. But I'm just trying to I'm trying to understand and be empathetic for parents and say why is this such a challenge? And again, it's like, parents are so used to having instant access to their children if they want them.
Total control.
That one step away is nervous for them. And I understand that. And I hope people listening understand that we understand that that's a challenge.
Right. Exactly. We all went through it.
Yeah.
Then if you're, 10 years maybe ago, they called them helicopter parents. Remember that term? Or maybe more than 10 years ago, but it was the same thing. And I understand it too. Believe me, I didn't get all these gray hairs on my beard from not having worried. But what the negativity of the flash mobs, all these kinds of the bullying, I'm writing another book on violent youthful offenders, and what I'm hearing is it's really sad. I may have brought this up before. This is a wonderful book for parents and teachers. Teachers gave it to me, and administrators. It addresses the old and the new, and one of the things that it really has fascinated me because I have grandchildren is free play. And that to me is really Matt just said, we would go out and play hide and seek, we'd play tag. And then when the streetlights come on, you came home. It was just, but those were different times. So there's not going to be locking up the phones. You're going to have everybody be responsible.
Yeah.
That's a great learning event, too.
Yeah. And I think, we're tightening up tomorrow we're meeting with principals and we're sort of putting the final touches on it then before we present to school committee. I think we are definitely tightening up. We're shortening the sort of route there. We can't be telling people 10, 12 times.
Yeah.
It's like the old teacher that would say, I'm going to count to 10 in this class, but be quiet, and nobody quieted till 9, right? Like, so like 1 through 8 was kind of a waste. You know what I mean? So like in some ways it's similar to that, right? And so we're gonna shorten that up a little bit. We're gonna be much more clear and direct. We did get feedback from parents that the sort of our response to when kids had phones was a little confusing because it was like this weird chart and how many, you know, so we've tightened it up. It's gonna be one page for everybody, easy graphic, and it will, like I said, when we sort of tighten it up and we're ready to sort of present it, we'll everybody, superintendent and I will do some outreach on it. Everybody will know before they head into the school year, but we are not going to lock them up this year. But I do just want to encourage everyone, like, if we want to avoid that, this is our year to show that we can do this. We don't need to,
No, it's just one other distraction from education. That's all. I mean, I've had teachers, my wife was a teacher for over 40 years. We know teachers. And I mean, here's my issue too. What is it, the middle school, the grammar school, the high school? Do they all have cell phone? I mean, I see kiddos today walking down the street, hardly tall enough to hold a cell phone, and they're talking on their cell phones.
Well, I would say, a majority of middle schoolers and definitely high schoolers have cell phones. Oh. You're seeing a number of elementary school students have them. I mean, but again, it's not necessarily a problem in elementary school. The data shows us it really wasn't that big of an issue. It's when you get to the middle school. And a lot of the, a lot of the research around this, and I'm glad you brought up the anxious generation, because I do want to take a quick plug.
Yes, please do.
That one of our school committee members, Sarah Hathaway, has really taken this on, and she has scheduled community discussions at the Berkshire Athenaeum around this particular book. And in it, she talks about, not necessarily in the book, but one of the things that sort of correlate with the book in her research, she found a movement called Wait Till 8, right? And so it was this idea that this organization asks parents to hold off on cell phones for their kids until eighth grade. Yeah. And that's about all I'm familiar with. I don't want to speak to something I'm not that much more familiar, but it's an interesting, so she, Sarah has really taken a really vested interest in this and really tried to help bring community awareness. She had a 2-part series, at the library just on that anxious generation book. So
Sarah Hathaway is such a contribution to the city and everybody. That I just I don't know who that is. Don't you understand? I'm on with Matt Bishop. Don't be calling me now. God, people just speaking.
While we're talking about cell phones, right?
Yeah. There's probably somebody calling, listening in, hate mail. Sarah Hathaway, I've interviewed, and I got to have her on again because she was a teacher. She was the mayor. So she's got a well-rounded approach, and I watch, Matt, don't think me an old man, but I do watch the school committee and some of the subcommittee meetings because I don't have a life. But and also I feel it's important to do this show that you stay up with it. I want to hear, and why I have Joe on and you on and Tammy on, is I want people in the city to hear it from the doobies, people who are doing it. I'm not reporting it. I'm letting you report. I asked questions and I have opinions. I'm not an educator. I'm a criminal justice practitioner. And I will tell you, if you want to cut back, and DA and I just had this talk, if you want to cut back on juvenile crime, get them in the school. Get them in the training, get them in the education. Cause I'll tell you, I'm an old man, and I've seen a lot of them, and I've worked with a lot of them. And the ones that have gotten out, the ones that have been successful, those, my friends, are the ones that got an education. I don't care what kind of education. But and I say this too, you can pass this on perhaps. I had a guy, he got jammed up big time, but prior to that, he had detention every day. And when I interviewed him, I interviewed all of them that came through. I might have told you this. He said, he said, well, I'm a behavioral problem. And I said, well, not here, because this was the penitentiary. And so I said, well, you sound like you're proud of it. He goes, no. But I had detention every day. I could not leave the school till 4:30 every day. I said, again, dude, you sound like you're proud. Didn't you want to go home? This is the message to share with the teachers. Home, my mother was a crack dealer. So it was either other crack addicts breaking in, other crack dealers, or the cops. Whatever group it was, they all roughed me up. So my safest place in my life was from 8 to 4:30. And we know, there are a lot of kids that we don't know why they act out the way they do.
Yeah.
You're a seasoned guy. You've seen a lot of it.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about the power of an education, right? If we can show students that they can be anything with education, it gives all of us hope that there's something else out there, right? No matter what your situation is, we can use what we're doing here to help you get to where you want to be. And I think sometimes when people lose that hope or they don't see a path for themselves and is, you know, probably what you were kind of, which you would have seen is that, you know, they don't see a purpose. So then they stop. But I think, you know, if we can give our students hope.
And that's what Taconic is very good at. And that's what, you know, I defer to Tammy Gage and Pathways. Boy, what a great name that is. I don't know who came up with it, but you're right. You put a student on a pathway to success. And you can visualize that pathway where, you know, before it was hypothetical and, you know, abstract. And I'm a person, you know, when I first heard that, I thought, what a magnificent term, because that's what it is. It is a pathway for life, not just an education, for life.
Right.
You know. So just quickly, what is this other title you have?
Well, is it a title
or is it just a job?
No, it's good stuff. So there's when the deputy superintendent and the curriculum coordinator, and so we have the assistant superintendent of transformation and accountability. That's Jenny Stokes. She's going to be awesome at that. She's doing it. Now the other assistant superintendent is the assistant superintendent of instruction, assessment, and educational engagement, right? And that's the role that we haven't filled yet. This summer I was picking up the pieces from a lot of things. So I was kind of just filling in there.
So he's not only is he the principal at Taconic, he's also AKA Jack of all trades.
Master at none. 100%.
My wife is hitting all the tools in the house. She will not let me hang a picture because the last one I did took me 4 days and it still was crooked. So I want to thank you, Matt. And school's going to start. Is there anything you want to get out to the parents, the Taconic parents, parents in the city? I think one of the breaking news is they're not going to lock up cell phones.
Right.
But if I may say this, parents, be responsible. Teach your children to be responsible. I was in church a couple of weeks ago, and it was like a melody of cell phones going off. I mean, dude, you're in church for an hour.
Right. And I think, you know, it just shows that how much they become part of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, that they're constantly pulling at us. And, you know, when you're in school, you remember, I mean, I used to doodle, draw a note, you know, now you have this like powerful computer with anything at your fingertips.
Yeah. Anything.
Running at it. You know,
I used to look out the top window at PHS across the street at that and say, maybe one day I'll be have enough money to live in that apartment house. So there you go. That's all I've. Man, I can't thank you enough for taking the time and all you do for the school, all you do for the kids and the teachers. I've spoken with the superintendent. He has he is considering lifting the restraining order to let me back into Taconic, especially for culinary events. But also, I would like to go back to doing the Thursday morning interviews from Taconic, of Taconic people. I got to work that out with the station and everything, but... we got such positive feedback on that last year. It was really cool.
And again, it's relevant real world experience for our kids, and they love it, and we love having you. So, and
all I can tell you is I just don't give up the ship. I know that there's got to be days when you go, wait a minute, I can go, but it's people that are dedicated like you through the years. We said Gene Catalano, so many other people through the years have influenced, even myself. I was with a group the other day very quickly with, we talked about North Junior High, and the discipline at North Junior High was Coach Kowalski. You did not want to be sent to tell the coach that you were disrespectful to a teacher. We'll just leave it at that. He's long gone. They can't indict him. But Matt, thank you so much. I'm always here. You want to get stuff out. You got plays. You got anything. Just get it to me and I'll announce it. I have a couple of things I have to announce right now about the trash. There's a informational session August 21st, 9:30, Ralph Fryo Senior Center. Monday, September the 9th. 6 p.m. Morningside Community School. Thursday, September 12th, 6 p.m. Reed Middle School. And Monday, September the 16th, 6 p.m. the Berkshire Athenaeum. The City of Pittsfield, this is an outreach campaign for the new trash collection system. So don't complain if you don't go. I'll leave you with that. Matt, I'm always here for you, brother.
Thank you. It was a pleasure as always.
Oh, you are. And say, tell Tammy I miss her.
I will. I will.
Bye-bye. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.